Okay, that was a lot of kids there, wasn't it? I don't know, you're counting, there's a lot of kids. You have a good Mother's Day. I got something amazing, actually, from my daughter Maple here. It's really, really good. This is, like, better than most years. It's amazing. So it's, like, a little bag. Okay. Oh, sorry, that's wrong thing to say, wasn't it? Yeah, it's a little bag, but inside it's got, Dear Mum, you rock. Okay. This week I will sweep the floor whenever you ask me to, from Maple. And then, okay, there's loads of little stars of other stars, each one with a job that she'll do. Like, it's amazing, isn't it? So that's, that was brownies, so it's a good one. Anyway, but no, I was pleased with that. It's nice to be appreciated, isn't it, as mums, because being a mum, it can be a real struggle. But I don't know if in that reading, I don't know if you spotted it, but for Leah and Rachel in that passage, it didn't feel like their main struggle was being a mum, did it? Did you spot that? No, so for Leah, each son she gave Jacob, she's thinking, as verse 32, surely my husband will love me now. That's her main struggle. For Rachel, verse 8, her struggle, you know, spot that, who's her struggle with? Yeah, sister. Yeah, her sister. She's just determined to get back to being better than her sister, like she always has been. Much prettier. And the names, as we go through that, I think it's just how they're feeling at the time, really. The names they give their children, that's how they're feeling. And who would you say is struggling best out of Leah and Rachel? What do you think? Anyone's for Rachel? Anyone's for Leah? A few for Leah, yeah, I think it's Leah. I think she is struggling best. She does feel unloved. I mean, to be fair, she is unloved. Her husband never wanted to marry her, you know. And she's making that assumption, common one maybe, that if she gets pregnant, then her husband will love her. Maybe some of you have had experience of that in your families, I don't know. But she's taking her sadness and despair to God, though, isn't she? And this is the point, I think. She's crying out to God, you see there, again and again. And in her prayers, there's lots more about God than Rachel's when she talks. And with Judah, she finally gets round to just saying, you know what, I'll just praise God anyway. My husband might not love me, but I'm just going to praise God anyway. Okay, and I think that's really important. She overcomes. Verse 31, way before, God actually saw, didn't he, that she was unloved. And he gave her children. Proverbs 30 says, an unloved wife is something that makes the earth tremble, something it can't bear. So God does not like that situation. But Rachel, she blames Jacob, doesn't she, for her not having kids. In a rare moment of wisdom from Jacob, I think, it's incredible. He just tells her, I love this, he just says, Look, honey, just go hassle God about it, right? It's not my problem. And I think that's good. She's thinking that it's his fault. She can't have kids. And he's like, look, kids are down to God. Go hassle him about it. So what are you struggling with this morning? Just take a moment. Maybe two or three names. Who are you struggling with this morning? What are you struggling with? You got that? What are you really struggling with at this time in your life? And whether you're struggling maybe with, I don't know, maybe trying to beat your work colleague to a promotion, you know, Monday to Friday, things are tough, or whether you're beating your friends to get top marks in class, or trying to stop your brother taking over the family business, or just basically endless petty stuff day in, day out with your husband or wife. You know, whatever it is, whichever ones of those it is, let's learn today that whatever we're struggling with, our real struggle is actually with God. I'm just going to pray before we go any further. Jesus, we end up in just the same struggles as all the generations of this family do. And help us today see that where we too go wrong like they do, but also how we can bring our struggles to you, and then you can switch it around to bring blessing even through those same struggles. Please help us with that today. Amen. Okay, we've got a just like, point it there. Oh, wrong one. Okay, we'll come on to that. Oh yeah, it was that one, that's fine. William and Kate. William and Kate, the royal family, yeah. They're doing well at the moment, aren't they? They just got back from the Maldives without baby George, had a holiday without baby George. And I'm sure Kate would have really struggled with that. You know, as a mum, how could you... Oh, that's going to be hard. And I bet William was sort of like, come on, we want to get away, we're going to go on the beach. We had that, actually. Barrier booked this holiday to Croatia for us, and in the end, I couldn't go through with it. So it was going to be without Peter. But anyway, so we ended up with 2 nights in Wales with Peter with us. But yeah. Can feel all the waves of sympathy going out to Barrier there, okay? Sorry. Anyway, but Prince Charles in the royal family, he's like had this promise, hasn't he, hanging over him for ages. Yeah? One day he'll be king. I mean, how do you live like that? And then William's got that as well, and now baby George, the royal one, not this one, but, you know, they've got this promise hanging over them that one day they'll be king with all these blessings and privileges and responsibility, and that's a struggle. And I think Abraham found this a struggle too. This morning we're going to look at a lot of the generations of this family just to pick up a bit of an overview on what we've been doing. So Abraham, it all started with him, and God gave him this promise that he's going to be like a new monarchy, you know, like a new nation for God. He's going to be the leader. And he struggled with that, I think, you know. And I think it's pretty cool though, isn't it? Imagine today if God were to say that to you. Like if he were to say, Carol, look, tell you what, I'm actually going to start a new nation with you, and you're going to be the first leader, and I'm going to give you a country, and you can design it all yourself because you're an amazing landscape architect. No, I added that bit. But, you know, but there's going to be loads of kids, so I'm doing all right with that. But the whole world is going to be blessed through your family, you know? I mean, that would be so cool, wouldn't it? Imagine if God said that to you, and your mind would be racing, wouldn't it, about all the possibilities and your future and for your kids, what it's going to mean. Amazing. And the exciting thing actually is that if you're following Jesus, God has said that to you. He has said that to you. Because in one sense, we see there's just different levels of God implementing this promise. So in the early days, it was just with one family. And then it went to the Old Testament with David and Solomon and the kings there. And they had the promised land, and they all lived in the promised land of Israel. And then with Jesus, Jesus actually became the fulfillment of the promise. And he was the temple, the new Israel, and everything all wrapped in Jesus. And now as the church, we're like, the land, I guess, is the church, and we're living as God's people, the church, his family, and under his rule, we're living now in his sort of promise, in this kingdom now. So when you follow all that through the Bible and those big themes, you can see that really God has given this promise to us, which is really exciting. Now, if we split men and women, okay, we're going to move on to the next thing. Today we're going to just look at these themes. I've tried to structure it a bit. So as men and women, and then in marriage, and then when you've been out conned, okay? We're just going to go through it like that. But if we split first men and women then, the women's role in the early days of this new nation is clear. They need to produce children, right? Who'll be this nation. Otherwise, Abraham's not going to have anyone to be in charge of. And Kate, she's doing all right on this, isn't she? We've got an heir. There she goes. She's done well. And when she has an heir and a spare, isn't it? Then we'll be able to relax. But no, she's doing well. But 3 generations of women we've seen in our series, Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel, are struggling to make sense of God's promise, I think, because they can't have kids. So how's this going to work? Sarah's 99 when she finally has children, and God is gracious. He does give them children. Rebecca's husband, Isaac, prays for her to have kids. And then even Rachel gets kids eventually when she's calmed down a bit, I think. Whether you've got kids, not got kids, just see them on the weekends, whatever. Actually, there's much more greater spiritual significance to this. So as the church, we all have that like motherly role of just nurturing people, new people coming into the church, don't we? And raising new disciples. But it's ultimately God who's in control. And the fun day we hosted is a great example of that, you know? We're just like welcoming the community, hosting them. It was really cool. Now the men's role, what's the men's main role in the early days of God's kingdom, was obviously to lead this new nation, to protect it, stand up for it. to threats with other kings, do the right things with laws and customs, and that's hard for any guy. And Isaac and Abraham struggle with that, you know. And for each guy here today, some of the guys, maybe you struggle with your responsibilities. But God wants to remind you today that he is your ultimate protection and he is your ultimate reward and pay packet, if you like. It's got a verse here, Genesis 15:1. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. And whether you're man or woman or child or grandparent or anything, actually there's a much greater significance also to this too, because one of Abraham, Jacob and Isaac's children is going to be the man who can do all this, like he can live up to all this. And that's, of course, Jesus. We'll come back to him. So men and women struggle. And then, next bit, then God puts them in marriage, okay? And this is where fun really starts. And we see painfully, I think, in the lives of these couples, in our reading as well, we've seen that. Oh, it's painful, isn't it? Yeah, painfully in the lives of couples when one is struggling to trust God's promises and then the other bears the consequences, yeah? You know, does anyone know this? We all live in families, okay? So like when Abraham and Isaac don't stand up to the king, you know, they get scared and they tell their wives to pretend to be the sisters just so that they're not going to, well, save their own skin and maybe get more lots of gadgets from Pharaoh who's giving out presents or whatever. But that's hard for the wives then, you know? Sort of status update, it's complicated, P.S. I know now for definite my husband doesn't love me anymore, sad face. The sin of omission, then. The guys had just, like, forgotten that it might be helpful to have a wife if they were going to build this new nation. Sorry, I'm trying to not be sarcastic. It's hard, isn't it? But, yeah, guys had just forgotten that. But how easily we all sort of forget, don't we? Put the time into caring for our husband or wife. It's hard. You know, all the expensive meals out or even just doing it at home cheaply. Like, it takes time and energy and money, and there's like no immediate payback necessarily, and I won't go there. But then the husbands say they have to bear the consequences of their wives' sins. But what do the women, let's look at the women now, okay, women, how do we sin? Because we do actually, guys, we do, honestly. We can sometimes be tempted, I think, to sort of hide our hearts, okay? And if you've read Genesis, been following it, there's tons of hiding goes on in Genesis. Tons, like they're sort of dressing up, they're hiding. Yeah, tons of hiding. Tamar as well, chapter 38. If you come on to Tamar, oh, poor girl. Like, she has to dress up and hide just to get her father-in-law to sort of do what he should have done anyway and just have a future anyway. But we women get tempted, I think, to hide our hearts because we're scared that our husbands won't understand and they'll maybe just think our plans are silly or too costly or too risky, so I think we hide. And I think, okay, this is just a theory, but bear with me on this. I think this is what went on with Rebecca and Isaac because, you know, like they were such a perfect couple. They were so happy. It's just amazing how they came together. It was like totally God-appointed, arranged marriage, but just totally wonderful. And Isaac prays for his wife to have children. It's beautiful. So how does she end up playing this awful trick on Isaac, you know, when he's blind? Well, my theory, you know, remember if you were here, but there was like World War III going on in her womb with the two boys, the twins were sort of fighting it out, and she goes to God about it, great, and what does God tell her? God says, your boys, there'll be two nations, they'll be fighting, and the older will serve the younger, okay? So God's told her that, but I'm not sure, it never says, but did she tell Isaac? I don't know. Maybe she didn't ever tell Isaac, or maybe she did, but he just wasn't listening, you know, that sort of... Anyway, but can you imagine around the dinner table, though? Can you imagine? Hey, Isaac, you know, I was sort of thinking that maybe you might want to sort of pass on the leadership of God's people and most of your money to sort of to Jacob rather than Esau, you know? And then Isaac's like, what? Oh, you would say that, wouldn't you? Because he's your favorite. How could he be a leader of God's people? He can't even lead a trip to the shops, you know? And like, all the time he's just here with you in the kitchen doing all these sort of flower arrangements and stuff. Like, and how much is that costing us? You're trying to say he should be the leader of God's people, you know? Oh, Isaac, Rebecca says. Isaac, they're really creative. Don't put him down, you know? He's really creative at flower arranging. Just stop going on him. Anyway, that's what it could have been like, I reckon. I don't know what you think. But the marriage there is maybe struggling a bit, you know? Started off all happy, but maybe their marriage is just struggling a little bit. It could be something like that. And Rebecca's left raiding the dressing up cupboard and just at the last minute putting her son up to tricking his father into giving him the inheritance and the blessing, trying to use deceit to do God's work for him. And yeah, it sort of reminds me of Satan, actually, you know, the heel grabber. Jacob was called the heel grabber. Evil deceit running right alongside God's grace in the heart of God's people. It's really powerful. Jacob the deceiver, Satan the deceiver, Rebecca the deceiver, me the deceiver. Daughters of Eve, aren't we? And it's hard. I've done stuff like that. And I don't know, maybe that's helpful just in your marriages. Just think how it's work. You know, what are the times that you're most ashamed of, ladies, in your marriages? What are those times when it, yeah, you did things you're really not proud of? Is it anything like maybe Rebecca there, the women in Genesis? I'll just pray. I'll just do a forgiveness prayer there. Let's just pray. Dear God, please forgive us, women, when we do this, when we maybe hide our plans from our husbands and then we're left at the last minute just resorting to tricking, manipulating, cajoling. Just forgive us and help us start afresh. Amen. Now, I've got two take-home marriage tips from this, really. So first, and I did check, husbands then, I reckon, this might be helpful. Husbands, find out your wife's heart, okay? What she wants to do, put the time in. Her gifts and skills, that next baby she wants. Actually, that's not me, just make that clear, it's not me. But what she's thinking is best for the kids, even though the answers may seem really costly and risky. Remember, your God is your shield and your pay packet, right? Wives, and I did check this with Barry this morning. It was painful, but yeah, I was like, Barry, sort of, what should wives do to sort of for their husband? Anyway, but yeah, remember, your husband feels responsible for protecting the family and earning the money. Respect him, love him, and encourage him to lead. Actually, that's the bit I found out this morning. Encourage him to lead, and step back and let him lead. Things like that. Give him time maybe with your plans. Try and tell him early and then work, let him work it out and process it and then come to things in his own way. So I don't know if that's helpful. It might just be our stuff, but you know, if it's helpful, that's good. Okay. Well, moving on then. Right. We've looked at how men and women struggle. We've looked at how marriages struggle, and now the perfect storm, when pairs of struggling people struggle against other people, okay, the perfect storm. And this is where Genesis reads like an episode from Footballers' Wives or something like that, okay? There's just the ultimate all-out double con, winner takes all, okay? This is just incredible in our reading, isn't it? Two people deceiving two others. And we've looked at Rebecca and Jacob ganging up on Isaac, and now in just beautiful poetic justice, really, Laban and his daughter Rachel go out to con Jacob and trick him into marrying the person he doesn't want to marry. And that's so low. Like, I've not even come across any soaps that have run this story, you know, or Sunday Sport, or, you know, I mean, that's incredible, really. But how's God's grace going to work here? For Leah, the aim of the welfare code of that day, actually, was to not leave her on the shelf like that, you know, not leave a woman without a future of having kids. So she's a vulnerable person. She's not got any part in God's future, and God is unhappy with that. He's going to sort it out. And God's heart, isn't it? He's always for the marginalised, the brokenhearted. And if you're here today, if you're brokenhearted, if you feel left on the shelf or on the scrap heap, God is looking out for you. And probably already, he's already sorting things out. And you are anyway in his special nation, his hall of fame, you know. Just cling to him, struggle with him. There's no way Jacob was ever interested in lazy-eyed Leah. Stuff any tradition or custom, he's going after hot Rachel. He just doesn't care. And he's so vulnerable, isn't he? It's so funny. He's so vulnerable. When we want things so badly, we're really vulnerable. And you know, in Hustle, I don't know if you watch this, people like Hustle, but when they go out to find a mark, as Barry said the other week, they have to find someone who really wants something so badly. And Jacob is that person. And of course, in this perfect storm, everybody's needy. Everybody's vulnerable. That's the interesting thing. They're like larger-than-life cartoon-style characters, really. Lazy, rubbish, dodgy-dealing dad Laban. An unfortunate, less-than-beautiful Leah who needs to be married off. Trickster Jacob, looking for an easy life with gorgeous Rachel. God doesn't need TV, does he? This lot, that's what occurred to me. It just must be so entertaining. But it's mayhem. They all needy, they all should get counselling, you know, it's just crazy. And to be honest, you sort of wonder, what is God doing? God, how are you going to build your special family, your holy nation with this crew? They're just crazy. And they just, I don't know, when you look at them, all they just want to sort out their futures, a good future for themselves, for their kids, and they basically don't care who they step on, who they con, who they trick, who they push past to get what they want, do they? And they don't even seem to care much about God. And that's when it started to dawn on me, just like one of those slow light bulbs coming on, those energy efficient ones. It's what we're like, isn't it? What we're like. My God, that's what I'm like. Incredible. And the twist of this wacky wedding is that it basically stuffs these four people like ferrets in a sack. It just stuffs them all together for the next 20 years. And magically, incredibly, like, they all do well out of it, okay? They just struggle and struggle with each other, and then their characters all get better, I think. They actually, most of them, I think, they get what they want out of it, and then God blesses them so much more besides. So for us, that's interesting, isn't it? What does that mean for us? It's like the opposite of the law of entropy, you know, in physics, the thing of how everything breaks down. But this is like the opposite, God's law of redemption, where things build up. Good comes out of bad stuff. God's grace, his rule is just incredible. So remember, our struggle is with God. Maybe we need to think about our struggles in a different way. If you're married, just think about it. It's incredible, really. But if you're married, God has chosen your husband or wife to be someone who's going to refine your character. Are you okay with that? Have you thought about it like that before? You know, you might pay thousands for a custom designed 30 or 40 year life coaching plan, but God's given it you for free. Or maybe your brother, your sister. You know, God has chosen your little brothers or sisters, your friends, your colleagues, as people who will refine your character. Don't miss it. Parents pay loads, don't they? We pay loads for character building stuff, team building days, performance enhancing drama classes. And God can give it for free. With a brother or sister. It's cool. Anyway, someone said to me last week, it's funny, so she's going to be embarrassed I say it now, but no, she was like, I can't believe you're married to Barry. I never thought you two would go together. I'm like, I just didn't want to ask any more because I just don't want to go there. But no, anyway, God did, so, you know, God did, hey. But no, Barry is amazing, actually. He's amazing. And we're either both as bad as each other or both as good as each other, you know. But I do praise God that he's given me a husband who loves Jesus more than he loves me. And kids or whatever, if you're looking for a wife or husband, find one that loves Jesus more than they love you. Because everyone will say they love you, that's easy. But just see if you can catch them doing Bible study or things like that. When we were going out, there was one time, and I just noticed in Barry's student room, there was this book by his bed, this A4 thing. And I sort of sneaked a look while he was out in the loo or something. And but it had all his notes from his quiet time, like half a page or a page of notes as he's spending time with God. And I'm like, wow, okay. I sort of caught a glimpse of that hidden place and he was wrestling with God. And I thought, actually, yeah, this is the guy. You know, I can compromise on the other bit. No, I shouldn't. Shouldn't have said that. But the surprise winners at the end, off to the island of Fernando, if you like, the surprise winners are Jacob and Leah at the end of all this. Jacob and Leah, a long life, a double portion, and buried in the promised land, they are the winners. And Jacob changes. And at the end, when he's blessing Joseph, we've got this wonderful prayer here. The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys, and in them let my name be carried on, and on the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Well, he's really changed. That's a great prayer. That promise of God that hung over the family of Abraham, clearer and nearer than ever now, actually, because we have Jesus as well, don't we? Because unlike Jacob, Jesus carried the shame of the whole world on the cross when he's killed as a criminal. He didn't hide, he didn't run away, he didn't struggle, if you remember. He stayed bravely, faced death for the love and honour, the redemption of his family, fulfilling once all time God's big promise to be saved into a future. And maybe you want to say yes to Jesus today. Just, you know, come and have a word with someone at the back. Maybe you want to be in this family. It's so cool. And unlike Jacob, Jesus could love the unlovable. He could love us. He could love Leah. He was the perfect husband. He showed that love is not a feeling but a choice. That it's possible to love people who are not attractive, who cheat, deceive you, run after other gods, destructive pleasures. Jesus can love these people, and through his power he showed us we can too. And unlike Jacob, Jesus went straight out to confront the real enemy, Satan, at the start of his ministry, didn't he? And he showed he had conquered the power of Satan when he didn't give in to Satan's temptations, meaning that we too, we can struggle with Satan and win. And that's so exciting. Struggling can be good. Struggling is necessary. And just the last thing as we finish, just I don't know if you remember the significance of when Jacob struggled with Jesus that time. Jesus came, struggled with him. Because what always mystified me is that how Jacob seems to be able to steal God's whole big promise, just like as easy as a bar of chocolate, you know? I don't know if you thought about that. Like a simple trick, stealing the right to be the leader of God's people just with like a dodgy arm wig, you know? Like, did that really fool God? That's crazy. Surely God's not fooled by that. And that's why I think Jesus confronts Jacob about it later in the way he does. He's going to make him wrestle for it properly, make him ask for it the right way. And that's some match, isn't it? You remember that, some match. Simon talked about it. Jesus, the true Israel, fighting Jacob, the heel grabber, the deceiver. Jacob wins. Jesus lets him have the name of Israel for a while in a sort of, you keep it warm for me, sort of way. Because Jesus, the younger brother, later will come, take the full inheritance, if you like going deep with the Bible. What does the name Israel mean? Israel means struggle with God. Jesus wrestled and won his inheritance, a nation of redeemed people in heaven for eternity, enjoying living face to face with God. So hide in him, hide in Jesus, wrestle with him, find your reward in him. Jesus is so cool. Okay, we're just going to end now just with time of silence, because I've talked about wrestling with God, so I'm just going to give you a chance to do that now. Just time, just to be quiet, just bring your struggles to God, and then I'm going to pray at the end. Okay. Jesus, please forgive us. Forgive us when we hide from you, when we run away from you, when we try and fool you. Lord, forgive us. And thank you that we can start again. In your name, amen.